Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's not like old times. It can never be like old times. Lethal engagement mode and baby doll will never go to sleep. We are talking DC's Doom Patrol Season 2, Episode 5, Finger Patrol. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now, and of course, by right now, it's not just me. Elena is in the building. Hi, Elena.
Hi.
Spirit fingers. Those are we just do finger stuff. With fingers.
Doom fingers. Spirit fingers.
Fingers. This was a fun
and
episode.
D-finger, but you guys can't censored it.
You censored it, but they don't censor anything on Doom Patrol. That's what we're talking. Of course, Elena is the expert of all things expertise needed, and I am your host, Tehran. If you don't know me, you don't know comic books, because I'm all over every comic show that you've ever loved. It's all me talking about it all the time. We're going to break down this week's episode of DC's Doom Patrol Season 2, Episode 5, Finger Patrol. Ryan is in the background holding it down. We're breaking it down as thus. Hi, Ryan. Did you want to say something? Ryan?
What's going on, mother?
Hey, whoa!
Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa.
Whoa, Ryan. Whoa, whoa.
Yo,
whoa!
We might not even need to talk about the show, right? Whoa! Did you? No one heard you.
Whoa!
That's why no one heard you.
Whoa!
Only we could hear you.
That's right. Only you could hear me.
Only we could hear
that's
you.
That's okay. Right, they right, say right. Way worse on the
yeah.
show.
DC's Doom Patrol season 2. Yes.
Tehran, I have to say, I concede I was wrong and you were correct. The banging ghosts are a lot more naked than I had
tried to tell. Listen, I'm gonna tell you why.
I saw boobies on this episode, so there you go.
You know why? I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you why. Because you're a good person. You're not a piece of S like I am. So you wouldn't notice these things. You were actually into the scene. I was looking for nipples. I saw a lot of nipples.
Not good people. The sex patrol who just left a bunch of sex ghosts behind.
Left a bunch that are still there. Exactly. We're gonna break down this episode as thus. Cyborg's dream, Jane said, the underground is still in disarray. Rita's audition, we get, of course, that audition process. Dorothy and Baby Doll, and we meet Nanny again. Larry Trainer meets up with Paul. Cliff's sensation, getting that sensation. And, of course, we're going to do our special Doom Patrol segment. Basically, we talk about who the MVP is. Who's the MVP of this episode? Who did it all? We got some news and gossip you're going to want to stay tuned for. And we're going to make predictions into the next episode. So let's talk this DC's Doom Patrol Season 2, Episode 5, Finger Patrol. What were your overall thoughts of this episode, Elena?
I liked this episode. I mean, I really, really like the episodes with the, you know, the big celebration, the song and dance. So I was a lot more into, you know, kind of the Danny Patrol centric things and the Sex Patrol episode. But I do like that this was kind of a psych out, that it kind of gave the sense that everything was fine. And then in the last couple minutes, just pulled the rug out from under you, which this show is so good at doing. What did you think?
I thought this episode was really good. So remember last episode where I wanted more to happen? This is an episode where I felt like more happened. I do wish that we had more last episode, which was clearly a much more meaningful episode. But this episode, I had a lot of things happen. The action kept going. Now, you know what the difference is? I remember from past other shows, you like the dancing, singing stuff. And I don't. I never liked that. I've never liked that on any show. I've always felt that was fluff on a show. This episode, we didn't get a lot of fluff. But we did get a lot of, we got a lot of loose ends. So they're going to have to.
But we got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of loose ends. So I'm hoping that these loose ends get tied up. I hope they're not just there. And then, but that's one thing Doom Patrol is very good at, is tying up loose ends. My favorite part of this episode specifically and we'll get to that MVP. Baby doll was the MVP for me, but we'll talk about that. Oh my gosh, so sweet, almost creepy sweet. Let's talk about Cyborg's dream. Cyborg has his dream. He's on that date that he's always wanted. And then lethal engagement mode comes out and we start blasting civilians.
I mean, I like this whole Cyborg Ronnie dynamic that they've had. Truthfully, this is the most that I've liked Vic in either season, because all of season one, they had him just kind of being like, I'm the responsible one, I'm moody, I'm dark. And now we're finally getting to see some lightness to him, even in his like night terror scenes, as it's still like so absurd and so over the top that it's not, you know, like his backstory with his mom is just so depressing that now that we're finally getting some levity, I'm just hoping that it's not ominous that Ronnie's saying, you know, these are warnings, I'm warning you. I'm like, oh, don't do something awful to Cyborg. Don't like steal his tech or be awful. Like, this is the first time we've gotten to see him genuinely happy. So I just want him to stay happy. And it never happens on this show.
I'm going to say I agree with you 100%. This is the most I've ever liked Cyborg is going into right now. And I'm going to be very honest. While I like Jovian Wade as an actor, I don't like Jovian Wade for this part. I've never been on board with Cyborg. I don't like the way he portrays him is okay, but the way he looks has always just been a little off to me. And I know this is like a thing to say. I just want a bigger, sportier Cyborg. You know,
like he doesn't bother me because he looks like a football player to me. So to me, I'm like, yeah, like it makes sense when he keeps, you know, the flashback with his mom. Like it makes sense that mentally and kind of physically he's stifled at that size. And
I need to find out how tall Jovian Wade is, because honestly, on the show, maybe it's because Cliff is so big, Jovian looks very short, and that's what comes off.
I think that is part of it, is they do team him up a lot with the really tall actors. And I think that by comparison, it makes him look shorter. But part of why I think it's been difficult for him to settle into the role as easily as some of the other actors I think have, is because up until this point, he didn't have that much to work with. Like it was all just about like this one sad kind of brooding thing. Mm. And you can only play brooding so much before it just comes off as Twilight, you know, after a while. And you're like, all right, we've seen it. So to me, seeing him like with the sandwiches and just like the like, you know, like these cute little moments where he's actually getting to insert his own personality, I think makes the character so much more engaging and so much more entertaining. And you can tell he's having more fun playing him.
He's free now. It feels a little more free. Do you think the dream is foreshadowing something?
I mean, the fact that she said that she had text like inserted in her that Corum took, that they like kind of repoed from her and she wants back, I think is probably foreshadowing of the fact that, you know, she pulls up a Cyborg arm and then he doesn't have control of his arm anymore. So it's like this whole, you know, she's getting into your head, but then could she actually literally get into your physicality and your nanotech?
That's what I think every time I go on a date. I completely understand. Jane said,
she's always after the bots.
She is. She really is. Jane said, Jane is the underground concept. The underground is in disarray. Baby doll is popped into play and Jane is back in the underground. What was your take on that?
Oh, if Diane Guerrera does not get an Emmy, the committee is not doing their job. Like, she is so good. She commits so much to each of these characters. I hope she has a crazy long voiceover career after this too, because the way she is able to completely change her voice for all of these characters, like Baby Doll's voice sounds like a little girl. It doesn't sound like an adult woman trying to sound like a little girl. Like, she does a really good job of it. But this whole storyline was just I say it rips your heart out, but literally rips your heart out. Like, it killed me.
How old is Baby Doll?
Baby Doll, we're assuming, is Kay's age when Kay was first assaulted. So we're assuming like probably 6, 7.
Right? It's like 5 or 6 is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think.
Just because of the how they were acting, especially because we get that dynamic with Dorothy and then clearly Baby Doll is the less mature of the two. And that's why, yeah. And so we know Dorothy feels 11, even though she's 100 and the third years old. And Baby Doll, who's presumably 31 or however long we are, like at this point, like 50, because time is all wibbly wobbly in the Doom Patrol world. Baby Doll is 5 or 6 and they act a certain way. So we get that dynamic between Dorothy and Baby Doll, because I love Baby Doll's character. I don't know why I felt like maybe my own personal prejudice coming out when Baby Doll would cozy up to Niles. I felt like there was just something like awkward about it to me, but that was just because of knowing what Kay's been through and seeing this form of Baby Doll just always cuddling and cradled, and knowing that Baby Doll is in the body of a grown-up, it was just very awkward to me. But other than that, it was such good acting.
See, to me, the only reason that doesn't feel awkward is because, to me, Niles thinks of Dorothy as still a little girl. I think when Baby Doll comes in, his mentality is, you know, regardless of your shell, because Dorothy doesn't look like a regular little girl either. Yeah. He's like, regardless of what the exterior is, the personality I'm talking to right now, this is Baby Doll. And so this is a little girl who needs to be nurtured, who needs to, you know, we've seen him do his like little like piggy like noises to get her to eat and giggle and stuff. So losing her, this one was hard. I'm going to be interested to see how he reacts, especially since he even says this episode point blank, you were the last person I would ever want to see harmed. So the fact that Dorothy just killed her, I feel is like, okay, how is Niles going to respond to this? Because, I mean, how do you feel? Because to me, I was like, Dorothy explained that Manny is the most important connection she has. So I don't know. Do you feel like you kind of understand where she's coming from or no?
No. Here's my thing, right? Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you what. No, completely. It was one of those things where this is what, remember when last week I was very wary of Dorothy? I was like, Dorothy, I'm just always just nervous when Dorothy, and Dorothy's, oh, I'm Dorothy. No, I don't trust you. I don't, you are an atomic bomb waiting to go off. You're the nuclear, like she just, I'm very wary of Dorothy. And this is exactly the reason why. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know if I fully know what happened. Like, Dorothy was like this, and then Baby Doll touched Manny.
It's
yeah, he touched
he
Manny.
Turned into the fire spirit to destroy yes. him. So I mean, she just murdered this little girl's best friend in front of her while saying, I'm going to kill you by lighting you on fire in this furnace. I mean, I kind of feel like it's a little bit self-defense.
Baby Doll. Okay. So Baby Doll's. I need to understand Dorothy's power. Okay. Dorothy creates imaginary friends that are basically all powerful. Yes.
But she doesn't get to pick and choose. They just kind of show up, kind of like Jane's powers.
Okay, so they
which
just...
is why I wish Niles would have introduced Jane more to be like, she
exactly.
understands you.
Exactly.
And one of her personalities is a child. And if that child starts to annoy you, then say, hey, Baby Doll, this has been fun, but I want to visit with Jane now. Problem solved.
Which would have made sense. Like, yeah. Hey, we have somebody, because the dichotomy between the two is very apparent.
Yeah.
So now we get Manny shows up and Baby Doll touches Manny and Manny evaporates.
Well, she turns into the fire spirit and the fire spirit goes into him and then blows him up from the inside. And then she turns back into Baby Doll.
Yes.
So that's why he kills the fire spirit too.
Yes. What did Baby Doll think was going to happen? Like, I need to understand.
She didn't mean to. It became a different personality. Like, she just got upset. And then the fire spirit that we're assuming is just kind of the embodiment of pure anger, because she comes out only when Jane or Kay or whatever the entity is at most upset. Have we ever seen her come out? And is there just to attack. So this big creature comes out, like he's gonna start to rip apart Baby Doll. So to protect Baby Doll, the fire spirit destroyed him. But then it came back to Baby Doll standing there in front of this destroyed creature that she knows means so much to Dorothy. So that's why she genuinely was apologetic.
Sure.
She and didn't do it.
What did she think was gonna happen? Like, what did, first of all, Dorothy pushed this on Baby Doll. Baby Doll was clearly like, okay, have you ever been around kids and then there's a dog and the parents try to make the kid like the dog and the kid, the baby, like a baby, doesn't want to touch the dog, doesn't want to be around. They're afraid of the dog and parents will push it. And I'm like, that's how you make your kid afraid of dogs. If you just wait and let the kid grow up, they will naturally understand that this animal is friendly and doesn't mean harm. Baby
the
Doll
problem
pushed.
Was,
I mean, Dorothy baby, pushed Manny on Baby Doll.
Well, the problem was that Dorothy said, you know, here's Manny. Here's how important he is to me. Like, be gentle. And then Dorothy snatched his nose. It's like the equivalent of, like, let me introduce you to the dog. And then the kid grabs its tail and starts, you know, pulling or whatever. And you're like, no. You're hurting him. Don't do that. That's not the intention. The dog then is going to snap at the kid. Yeah. Not because the dog hates the kid, but because the dog hates getting his tail pulled. It's the same, like, she grabbed his nose, so she messed up.
Sure, sure.
She didn't know she was messing up, so that's why
She didn't know, and Dorothy didn't have to bring out Manny. Like, I don't understand.
I blame Niles for all of it. Honestly, if you're going to put these two little superpowered kids together, then
thank you. Like,
sir,
exactly. He's not even paying attention. 100%. I thought the same thing. They're playing in the front yard, and I'm like, I don't understand why we're letting two of the most dangerous entities on Earth, they're not even people. At this point, yeah, they're entities, play with each other. Like, what do you think
he
was going to
Dorothy
happen?
Dorothy locked in a prison for decades because she was so dangerous. And he's like, well, I bet if I put her on the front lawn with an emotionally stable, multiple personality, supercharged superhero who continuously messes things up, that'll be safe.
Which the funniest part is, of everything you just said, emotionally stable was the sarcasm. Like, everything you said, emotionally stable was the sarcastic part, and then everything else was exactly what she did. That's what I'm trying to understand. Like, what were we thinking, right? That was, anyway, we'll get to that, because in my MVP, I thought Baby Doll was amazing. Let's talk about Rita's audition.
This I thought was sweet. It's Rita, you know, after kind of going through all those repressed memories and seeing that her mother just slept with different producers to get her roles, Rita is now doing everything she can to try to get her own part. And I understand that, you know, she had a bad audition and that was a bummer, but I do like that, even though it's just because everybody got sick and they are calling in anybody they can, that she's still so proud that she's in.
I mean, Rita, my thing is, if Rita's so famous, why don't more people recognize her?
Because she was a semi-famous actress from the, like, 40s.
Sure, but if I saw
somebody right now that looked like Olivia de Havilland, I wouldn't go, oh, I bet that's Olivia de Havilland who had some crazy thing inhabit her. I would just go, oh, she looks like a, you know, look at that Hollywood starlet type. What a cute look.
But you would be like, oh, that looks like Olivia. Oh my gosh. At least you would say, do you know who you look like? Olivia. Like, I feel like more people should bring up who Rita is.
I feel like the people who, like we saw with Dr. Time, who like is, you know, cognizant of these time periods and who's important in the time periods. We saw him freak out. So I think it really is, you know, we see when it makes sense that people would know who she is, then they tend to. Fair. But I feel like most people right now, like if you saw, I mean, really, hell, half of like the actresses, but just walking around right now that were from the 50s, my thought wouldn't be like, oh, you look like this actress. I'd just be like, oh, she looks vaguely familiar and has really cool vintage style. I bet she got her clothes from Pinup Girl Clothing.
Yeah. You know what it is? I actually have one of my Instagram things is like Hollywood lookalikes. Basically, it's like regular people who look like someone from Hollywood, and I always Instagram them, like, and call them, like, you know, Jimmy Leno instead of Jay Leno, it's Jimmy Leno, his broker brother, these kind of things. So I think I would be a little more aware of it. And so I'm assuming people should recognize. But Rita's audition to me was definitely a very sweet moment. I feel that like just how it went down, I really liked Mickey Harris and the Cloverton community players, and I wrote and directed it, just all this stuff to, you know, of all people, Rita. I just liked how it played out. I thought it was a very telling moment. It was a defining character moment. It was great to watch. And then another defining character moment, of course, is Larry meeting up with Paul and Paul's children and grandchildren and all that, right? What were your thoughts on Larry and taking Rita?
Well, it made sense to me that Rita would go with him for emotional support because sure. they have this really strong bond. They're BFFs. And, you know, I like that they have that connection and they're able to support each other. And we see them for emotional scenes together. This one, though, I thought was pretty heartbreaking of him trying to, you know, make up for lost time. And it just kind of seems to be the whole theme of, like, sometimes sorry just isn't enough. Like, Dorothy, Baby Doll was sorry about Manny. That wasn't enough. Dorothy is sorry, but that's, you know, about Danny breaking the brick. And then now we'll probably be sorry about killing Baby Doll, but that doesn't bring her back. And so Larry's dealing with the same thing where he's like, you know, I'm sorry I wasn't here, but that doesn't make your son undo his suicide because he felt crazy for thinking that you were around. That doesn't undo all the heartache that we find out that Cheryl went through. It doesn't undo it. But I do think that Paul is a dick and an idiot for calling in the, what did you think of that scene? Like what I call the betrayal. Because it's like, ultimately, Dex got shot, but I don't blame Larry for that. I'm like, that was Paul's fault.
You know, Larry wasn't around. So there's always going to be, and you know what, to be very honest, Paul is way more accepting than I think a person would be. Like, my father's, this person is like, he's my father, he's just wrapped up in things. And I'm just accepting it face value. So I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to make of it. I'm just, honestly, when it comes to the Larry storyline, I'm taking it as is because it's being presented as is.
You just hope they wrap it up by the end of the season?
It's not even that I hope that it's wrapped up by the end of the season. It's more that I hope it goes somewhere. Mm. I hope there's a point to it.
I feel like a lot of it is just character growth. Like, it's him, you know, being, he's felt all this guilt, but it seems to be for the wrong things. And he's also felt like he was so unloved and so rejected by this family that ultimately, you know, we find out, even though Cheryl walked away from him when he was in his recovery room or whatever, she then dedicated chunks of her life to trying to take that back. So I think that this was a big growing opportunity for Larry. I feel like he's going to now just feel even worse guilt, but his guilt and his torment and his suffering seems to power the negative spirit. So wonder if that means he's going to get some new powers because now he feels extra shitty.
I think that, you know what? Honestly, I want to say so much, but there's nothing to say until it wraps up. And I hate that I said wrap up, and I hate you. So I don't know what there is to say. Because of how it played out, son, grandson, no one questioned why Larry's here. Like, who? We haven't seen him. Where you been? No one.
Or like, how did you know that your son committed suicide if you didn't know about Cheryl dying? Like, what?
Exactly. So like I said, I just hope that there's a point to it. And the reason why I'm not giving an opinion is because I actually like the way the storyline's unfolding. I just hope that there's a reason the storyline is unfolding. That's all. That's all I'll place on that. And we also get Cliff and his, basically, talk about character development. That's a great way to put all of these. Cliff, he wants the sensation. They actually go so far as going to visit Vic's father. So Cliff, he sees the drawings. I mean, we get a lot of cliffness in this. Wanting and that whole story about I stuck my hand out and I remember it would rain and I would stick my hand out and I would feel it, or I would run my hand through, you know, his wife's hair, and he would be like, I know it felt amazing, but I can't remember how it felt. And I was like, sheesh, this is the most vulnerable cliff I've ever seen.
Well, it's really sad. I mean, I feel like a lot of us now in quarantine can kind of relate somewhat. Like if you live by yourself and you haven't hugged anybody in months, then you're just like, man, I miss just hugging people and like just, you know, tactile senses. Humans are built to react and to have our emotions tied into these tactile senses. That's why you can have a great massage and then be all relaxed for the rest of the day and be like, you know, because the physicality ties in. So I imagine it is stressful to him to not be able to feel things. And we've seen him kind of struggle with that throughout, even from, you know, season one, when he's petting that cat and he's like, oh, I bet you're real fluffy too. And it's just this, you know, sad moment that it's like, oh man, he can't feel anything. But anything that led to us getting that Steel and Stone cop buddy cop 70s intro,
yes,
I'm 100% here for, because that was
so funny. Awesome. Steel and Stone, wow, great reference. So,
and I love that they had the afro just on the part of his head that wasn't covered with metal, like he would just like
you know, when it comes to Cliff, this new appetite for, he saw the drawings and now in his mind he keeps thinking all these things happen. And of course, Niles is like, oh, there's decades out, which I think is going to be, hey, we're leading Cliff to want to help Niles be immortal again, if nothing else, for his own personal selfish need, for his own.
I think you just hit the nail on the head with that one. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would it take decades, other than the fact that you want to be around for decades and this is a good way to emotionally manipulate people into helping you, you know? 100%. Like, just draw better. Don't draw weird little spider legs on it. Draw like human legs, Niles. I don't know.
Oh, these are just drawings. These are just throwaways. What did he say?
These are just, yeah, they're just like the drivel that you have to get through before
I create something like you out of like old iron, not even good metal.
I will say though, if that weird ass finger drawing is what's going to happen with that,
the finger, yeah,
that dismembered finger, if sure, it comes out of Cliff's head and he just has a burglar finger in his head,
that's not gonna happen. Things, if that happens at that point, Niles is a monster. Like,
I will lose my mind, where it's literally just like a, like an elephant trunk where it's like, here you go, you can touch things. Just,
yeah. You know, revisiting the baby doll and Dorothy hiding under the bed and Niles covering for her, and then baby doll leaving, you know, what did you think of that scene? And I want to know if there's implications to that scene.
You know, I actually really liked that scene because we saw that he was trying to protect baby doll's feelings, because Hammerhead made the point to say, look, baby doll and Dorothy are going to ultimately come to odds, because that's clash, what sure happens with little kids. They fight. Who do you think he's going to pick? He's going to pick his own daughter.
Sure.
So the fact that when Dorothy was kind of acting like a brat, Niles came in and said, you know, this lie to baby doll, but it was, you know, to make her feel better. And then when she ran out, then he was, you know, like, I hope somebody's not being a sour little girl, you know, pretty much punishing or at least reprimanding Dorothy for her actions. So I don't know. I was actually a little bit more proud of Niles for that, though. I do think that he should have one, supervised them, and
100%. He's just like, he's not even really watching from the window. He just drives by the window. Like,
that's what I'm like, what are you doing, old man? You're just driving around the house and you're little like scoot. You're not even doing anything.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you're not working on anything.
I'm not making fun of his personal disability. I'm saying the concept is,
no,
he's just literally like,
if he was scooting or walking, regardless, he's just pissing around doing, it's not his, the way he gets around, it's the fact that he's just meandering around the house
100%
doing nothing, not even like researching anything.
questions that I feel like you'd be great at answering. Number one, is Manny gone forever?
I think Manny's been destroyed. I think she killed him. I think she killed this creature.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree and not think Manny's gone, because I don't think Manny's gone. I think it was just like a disintegration of that particular aspect. And then second, Candlemaker kind of comes back after saying, I won't speak to you, and is kind of instigating, yeah?
That's what Candlemaker does.
Candlemaker's like, you're a kid, right? You're just a kid. Like,
because Candlemaker is... this is spoiler if you...
Yeah, it's just an entity.
If you haven't read the comics, if you don't know, not really the same as her other imaginary friends.
Yeah, Candlemaker's
like
real.
Bad guy hijacking this
the Shadow
girl.
King. It's the Shadow King of her legion.
Yeah, 100%.
So Candlemaker is instigating, but specifically she's like, I thought you weren't talking to me. And he's like, ugh. I think, okay, I guess we'll talk, this is a prediction more, but I think Candlemaker teams up with Manny. Like, Candlemaker pushed that to happen in a way. Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I think something...
I think Manny just comes out to instantly protect. Like, I think he just, like, he intrinsically was like, no, you're trying to light my little girl on fire. I'll destroy you. Hmm. And then the reaction from the flame lady is the same. Like, you're trying to destroy my little girl, I'll destroy you. So then it just becomes these two entities fighting each other.
Two flame lady, two destroying, I don't even know, two atomic bombs hitting each other. Let's get into our special segment, MVP.
I think my MVP has to be Vic. Vic, this episode, he said the magic words. I'm stupid. I fucked up. I'm sorry. Hmm. And what happened? He was forgiven. He listened. He was smart. I feel like, you know, I'm going with Vic. He's letting himself be happy for the first time in two seasons. So I say, here you go, Vic. I love Baby Doll. I think she's adorable, but she went and got herself killed. So that's on her, Vic. He went and got a little something different, so that's on him.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with it is Baby Doll. Baby Doll was the MVP. Baby Doll kept me in this episode. Baby Doll, the acting, from the acting to the character, was just amazing. And so, are we not getting more Baby Doll? Is that what's happening?
I think she's dead. I think that's it. I mean, I think there might be probably, I mean, they made a whole point of each of these personalities serve a purpose.
Exactly.
And if that purpose isn't being filled, then somebody else is created to fill it. We saw that with Miranda being the primary and then being removed. And then Jane took the place when she went to the well. So now I'm assuming Baby Doll is gone. There's going to be some sort of new child. I don't think this new child is going to be as sweet.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if Baby Doll's gone. Maybe I'm just
more
hopeful.
I think Baby
hopeful.
Doll's dead.
Maybe I'm just more hopeful than you are.
You're so sweet. I think they're all dead.
You're like, yeah, they're dead. It's dead.
They're all dead.
Like, I literally saw Niles. Nope, dead. Niles, dead.
Dead.
Larry, dead. Larry's son, dead. Yeah, the funeral.
Dex?
No. Paul, dead. You're like, dead. All of them are dead.
Dex got shot.
Yeah, definitely shot.
He might definitely be dead. Shot. He's the only one that I don't think is dead.
Yo, Dex, of all people, if Dex comes back, I might have to fight you. I might just be like, yo.
If everyone's dead but Dex, and I'm
but
right.
Dex. Yeah, but Dex. So Baby Doll's mine. Yours is obviously Vic. I'd love to know what everyone in the chat, in the comments, everyone, who is your MVP of this week? Let us know. We love talking to you. We love hearing what you have to say. We love hearing all of your theories, because you are, if not as much, more so part of this panel as all of us right here in our home studios. Thank you so much for making us the best Doom Patrol after show, period. That's not my opinion. It's all of yours. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us that 5 stars we so greatly deserve. And thank you for making us the ESPN of TV talk. Now, for some news and gossip, CinemaBlend, our friends at CinemaBlend sent me an article in which they are putting out Doom Patrol Season 2, major things that are happening with each character. So if you need a catch up, especially for all of you, we've had a lot of disconnect because this is now presented on HBO Max and originally was on DC. And a lot of people didn't watch the first season. They just jumped into the second season with not understanding exactly the full extent of what they were jumping into, thinking this was going to be much more like Watchmen when it's clearly Doom Patrol. There's nothing that it's like. So the closest thing I could say is if you started Legion from season two, you missed out on a lot. You would have never understood. And the reason I bring up Legion and Doom Patrol is because of their lack of linear storytelling, just out of the box thinking, and it's just such a unique universe that they're creating, which no other comic book creates in this way. In my opinion, what do you think, Elena? Same?
I mean, I think this is definitely one that you need to watch from the beginning and all the way through to fully understand and appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because, it's going to be like if you jumped into any like Westworld or anything that's, you
exactly,
know,
exactly.
You're going to be confused. You're going to be lost and you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah, this isn't like Lucifer where you can kind of jump in almost in any season and just be like, okay, I'm catching on. So this is something. This
it's not Friends. Different things happen. They don't just go to the coffee shop every week. Like
exactly.
New things happen.
Exactly. So Cinema Blend, in answer to this, created 8 major things that are happening with the characters that help you recap what's going on. Niles Calder is dying. Dorothy's imaginary friends are terrifying. There is one imaginary friend who is extra terrifying, of course, Candlemaker. Robot Man is going to be a grandfather, but his daughter wants nothing to do with him. Basically recaps, Rita wants to be a superhero now. Basically recaps the 8 major things that we should know about the storyline. I suggest you check it out if you're new to the Doom Patrol universe. And you should check it out just in general because it's a great read. So thank you for doing that. Let's jump into our predictions really quick.
I predict that things are going to get pretty intense. I think Niles is going to get upset to the point that he doesn't quite know what to do. So I think they're going to have to bring in additional aides to kind of figure out what to do with Dorothy. Jane, I think, is probably at her wit's end. I can see her potentially just full snapping. And I'm interested to see the dynamic with Cyborg and Robot Man continuing, because I liked having our two Robo boys team up.
Yeah,
our Robo cops from the 70s instead of the late 80s.
Yeah, it's amazing. My prediction is I think that Dorothy is dangerous, and that Dorothy. And I think Dorothy and where everyone's gonna die. I believe what Elena believes, except I think it's going to be Dorothy. So I'm waiting for that to happen, and I think. So last season, of course, we had the villain. What's his name? What's the guy's name? Why can't I think of it really quick?
Mr. Nobody.
Last season. This season, Dorothy is 10 times more dangerous than Mr. Nobody. Same power set, less experience and maturity. That's all I'm saying.
We're not in Kansas anymore.
We're not, but we will be next week.
That's our other news to continue news part two. This will actually be our last Doom Patrol after show.
For a while.
For this season, because we're going to be shutting down for the summer. So there's only 4 more episodes left. So this will be officially, I guess, our last one.
But it's not the end of the discussion. We still look forward to your comments and us talking. You can find us on social media. Elena, where can people find you if you want to be found?
You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, ALANAJORDAN, and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And if you guys don't know what we're talking about, AfterBuzz is just taking a little hiatus over the summer. So we will all be back to talk about our favorite shows and whatnot. We're just not quite sure when.
Dorothy's getting to us.
But in the meantime, I will be on the Drunk Banthas podcast and Trey Geek as well. So if you want to keep up with all of your nerd news and show whatnot discussions, then you can follow me again, Twitter, Instagram, and I'll post all that stuff.
Well, find me at I am Tehran, all across the board, IAMTHRAN. And of course, hosting and paneling a slew of your other favorite AfterBuzz television shows, because all your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. When we come back from the hiatus, I will be here. So if you hate me, you can hate me then too. See you guys when we come back. Thank you so much. And thank you to Ryan for being our backbone and the
soul. We love you, Ryan!
Of AfterBuzz and all of you at home. We shall return. Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.